Market timing is notoriously hard, deciding when to get in and out of an investment. Well, what about timing this tax overhaul? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. About 22 minutes into this trading day, the Dow is up 137 points, 0.6%. S&P up 0.4%. The NASDAQ up 37.6%. Ask market players what is guiding this sentiment. And after they mention corporate profits, it's typically the tax overhaul in Congress that comes to mind. Now, if this gets through the Senate, it'll be a squeaker. Then there's the reconciliation with the House version. That's work that was promised for this month, which has just 9 days left. Let's consult economist David Kelly at J.P. Morgan Funds. Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, as we get into the Thanksgiving holiday, what's your sense about the tax overhaul's prospects?
Well, I think it will happen. The key thing is, I know there are a lot of details here, but what we have is a commitment to spend $1.7 trillion over 10 years on tax cuts. And, you know, if you've got a credit card with a $1.7 trillion spending limit, you'll find some way of divvying up the rewards to keep most people happy. So I think politically, the Republican Party really wants this to happen. And I think they'll find some way of making enough people happy about it to actually implement this before next year.
Okay, but happiness on a lot of borrowed money.
Well, I think the problem is that last year we ran a budget deficit of $666 billion. We may run a trillion-dollar deficit by the year 2020 on this. And this is all borrowed money. It's going to have to be paid back. And when the economy is already at 4.1% unemployment, it's really at full employment, the question is, should you be essentially giving more sugar to the economy at this point? Because it's really doing all it can right now anyway.
Doing all it can right now anyway, because if you take a look at the employment statistics, the economy is not raising standards of living for everyone, but we're close to what you economists call full employment.
Well, that's right. And I mean, you can argue about who should be getting tax cuts, but the question of whether everybody should be getting tax cuts, I don't really think that makes sense when the economy really is pretty healthy. It's like giving antibiotics to a healthy kid. It's really not a good idea in the long run.
Economist David Kelly at J.P. Morgan Funds, thank you.
Anytime.
Even though some of the big retail chains are in trouble, hiring of temporary retail workers for the holidays looks to be about on par with last year. That's in part because hiring at companies that warehouse, pack, and ship online orders is up tenfold over the past decade. But are these really retail jobs? Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
I've come to one of Amazon's massive new packing and shipping facilities in a suburb south of Seattle.
Welcome to our Kent Fulfillment Center.
Amazon's Nina Lindsay is showing me around.
We have more than 3,500 full-time employees working at this facility. And of course, we expect to bring on many more seasonal employees.
As many as 2,500 more, starting at around $12.50 an hour. Lindsay takes me through the pulling and sorting area, where tall carts filled with every conceivable product, detergent, books, computer components, zip across the floor, mounted on sophisticated robots, though she's quick to reassure new recruits.
The training and onboarding is very easy. They don't need to worry about programming robots or anything like that.
Brick-and-mortar stores need employees with good people skills who can handle grouchy or rushed customers. Filling online customer orders in giant fulfillment centers requires fewer workers and a different skill set, says Deloitte analyst Rod Sides.
Think about the requirements for marketing, for analytics, jobs that require, I'd say, a higher level of talent and thus a higher wage. In the new model, labor demand goes down, but the cost probably goes up.
With unemployment low, there's now fierce competition for those management types and warehouse workers. Bill Ravenscroft at Adecco Staffing in Austin, Texas, says employers are trying to one-up each other, offering
wage increases, completion bonuses for seasonal workers, offering meals or gas cards or bus passes.
And he says to make sure orders get out the door, some employers are being less picky.
Changing background requirements or even drug test requirements, foregoing those just so that they can get these positions filled.
Deloitte's holiday retail survey finds that for the first time, consumers plan to spend more of their shopping budgets online than in stores this year. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
The Financial Times is reporting that the main company that assembles the Apple iPhone in Asia is using high school students on the assembly lines who have to work illegally long days, sometimes 11-hour shifts. The paper says they're part of a group of 3,000 high schoolers sent to work at a Foxconn plant in Chengdu, China, as part of a work experience program the students say was required by the school. The school's not commenting, but Apple and Foxconn say they're taking remedial action. The Justice Department is suing to block the merger between AT&T and Time Warner. It's an uncommon case of the department pursuing antitrust action over what's known as vertical integration. That's when two companies that provide different services in a chain are accused of potentially harming. It's pretty rare, as Marketplace's Jed Kim reports.
Back in 1931, Paramount got a lot of money from Groucho Marx getting laughs in Monkey Business.
I want to register a complaint.
Why, what's the matter?
Matter enough. Do you know who sneaked into my stateroom at 3 o'clock this morning?
Who did that?
Nobody. And that's my complaint.
Major studios back then controlled films, actors, even the theaters that aired movies. A Supreme Court decision in 1948 determined that to be a monopoly and effectively ended the Hollywood studio era. The last time the government even took on vertical integration was in 1979. Michael Carrier teaches law at Rutgers.
Most of the time, the antitrust agencies deal with it themselves. They require behavioral remedies. They require divestitures. So a very, very tiny subset of cases actually make it to court.
The lawsuit could lead AT&T to scrap the deal. Spencer Waller is with Loyola University's law school.
Corporate plans, you know, get put on hold while these things get litigated. So if we get an actual decision on the merits of this thing, it's going to be read for generations to come.
Or watched on YouTube? I'm Jed Kim for Marketplace.
And there are calls to push the French film industry to de-emphasize smoking in their movies. A socialist senator brought this up during a debate in France's upper house of parliament the other day. She made the claim that every French flick has at least one smoking scene. Britain's Guardian newspaper reports that the French health minister is now going to have a chat with the culture minister about smoking in films. What did Jean-Paul Belmondo smoke his Galois all the way through? That film was called Breathless. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.